You're listening to the Revolution Church Podcast. To learn more, including our gathering times in Crossville, Tennessee, visit us at crossvillerevolution.com.
That are here on Father's Day, let's give it up for the dads. Come on, y'all, let's honor them real quick. Y'all are awesome. You could be anywhere right now. You could be fishing. You could be doing all kinds of different things, but you are at church, and we are really, really glad you're here on Father's Day. The best way to kick off a sermon any time of the year, but especially on Father's Day, is with none other than some dad jokes. Who wants to hear some dad jokes? Come on, y'all. I apologize ahead of time, okay, y'all? You know, my doctor just diagnosed me with a severe lack of awareness. And I'll be honest with y'all, it came out of nowhere, you know what I mean? I accidentally swallowed a bunch of Scrabble tiles, so my next trip to the bathroom could spell disaster. That was pretty good. You know, Netflix, I don't know if you keep up with this, but they're working on a new documentary on how to fly a plane, and right now they're filming the pilot. This one's so bad, I'm embarrassed to say it. Last night, a book fell on my head, but I realized I only have my shelf to blame. And we're in Crossville, so this one's really, really good. Tip for all the guys in here that are single. How do you get a country girl's attention? You attract her. Tractor. Attract. Y'all wake up at like 2 o'clock today and you'll be like, oh, attract her. Oh, and attract her. I get it. Hey, we're in the 7th week of our series where we're going through the book of Proverbs. And as we've told you guys, we are going to do some expository preaching. We've already done that. A few weeks, there's going to be some verse-by-verse teaching. But the book of Proverbs is probably the only book of the Bible where it's very helpful to maybe just look at a single verse or a single subject and go over it. Today, I'm going to preach what I think is going to be a very short message with one goal in mind. And now, let me say this. This message should encourage every single person in here. But I'm laser focused today on the men and the dads to encourage them. Today, I'm doing what preachers call preaching from the overflow. What that means is I'm preaching from the experiences of my life. And so I'm very close to this message. God confirmed to me this week, being honest with you, I really didn't want to preach this message because I was like, man, I'm too emotionally attached to a message like this, and I never want to let my emotions dictate what it is I preach to you guys. But through several conversations with some other men and some other dads this week, God made very, very clear that this is the message that I'm to preach this weekend to the men. Now, I want to make a distinction right out the gate between men and boys. And I don't just mean boys in age. I know we've got some teenagers in here that are younger and you're not quite men yet. But I'm talking about men. And on the opposite end of that, the contrast of that is boys that can shave, if you know what I'm saying. Today, the message is for the men. In fact, I want to be so clear on this that I'm going to put a chart up. And I'm going to explain to you the difference, just some of the differences between a man that loves Jesus and is following God and is after him and trying to emulate Jesus in his life, and a boy that can shave that is not doing those things. Men, we're going to put this chart up, control their emotions. According to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, they're gentle, they're loving, they're not always angry, they're not always unstable. Go back and watch Pastor Brandon's sermon on anger 3 or 4 weeks ago to help you with that. Boys do what they feel. Children are the ones that throw temper tantrums in the middle of Walmart. Well, it's not always children in Crossville in the middle of Walmart, but y'all know what I'm saying. You get the point. Men don't do that. We don't just do what our emotions tell us to do. We control our emotions for the good of everyone around us. Men provide for their families, according to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. In other words, men have a job, a full-time job, and they work hard at it. Boys are lazy. Boys are the ones that you have to get onto and say, clean your room 30 times. Go mow the yard 30 times. Okay, let me help clarify this. The message today, we're not hating on you, but our prayer for you, if you're one of the boys that can shave, is that God will mold you and develop you into a man. If you don't have a job, if you're 40 or 50 years old, you play video games 10 hours a day and live in your mom's basement still, you are a boy. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just saying today's message is for the men. Men protect their families. Proverbs 4, 10 through 15. In other words, men have a backbone. Men stand for what's right. Boys are scared and fearful. They have no honor. They are, in a sense, spiritual draft dodgers. They don't want to stand in the gap. They don't want to be called to service by God to protect or do anything like that. Men serve their families. Men lead their families as best they can, according to Ephesians 5. In other words, they try with everything they can not to be selfish and to serve their wife, to serve their kids. Boys are selfish, and it's all about what they want. Men do the best they can to follow Jesus, to emulate Jesus in their life. Look at the way Jesus did things and do it that way. Listen to the Word of God and allow it to inform their life. Micah 6:8, Hebrews 12:28. Boys follow the world. Boys look at what influencers are doing, and they go after that. Boys think that the things of this world are the things that are going to fulfill them. Men do what is right, Matthew 5:6. Boys do what is right for them. They don't think about anybody else. They're the picture of selfishness. So with that definition in mind, and that word picture, I guess, if you will, in mind of who we're preaching to today, the men that love Jesus, the men that aren't perfect, but they're doing the best they can to follow God, I want to read a scripture to you. Proverbs 17:22. And again, this will absolutely minister to some of the younger people in here. This will absolutely minister to some of the women in here. You're just going to have to adjust the message a little bit to hear what it is God's saying. Proverbs 17:22, a very familiar verse says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." The world was shocked on August 11th, 2014, when one of the funniest men on the planet, Robin Williams, took his own life. Gave us incredible movies, Good Will Hunting. One of my favorite movies growing up was Mrs. Doubtfire. Anybody ever seen Mrs. Doubtfire? They'd never make that today. They'd get canceled, you know what I mean? Hello! And like the soundtrack for the song was Dude Looks Like a Lady, you know what I mean? Like, they never make that today. Y'all know what I mean? But gave us these incredible moments, incredible comedy. But the world was absolutely shocked because it turns out that one of the funniest men on the planet was also one of the most depressed men on the planet. Sometimes those that seem like they have it together the most are the ones that are suffering the most in very dark places. Proverbs 17:22, I used to think, was talking about humor. I used to think, and it is, I used to think it was just speaking to the fact that it's okay to laugh, and it is. I used to think it's speaking to the fact that it's okay to tell jokes and have humor in your relationship with God and your relationship with others and even in church. It's okay to laugh, and that's part of it, but there's a very much deeper meaning to this verse. The real meaning of this verse is some people that have the biggest smile on their face have the most pain inside. We've told you guys that Proverbs is written in what's called Hebrew poetry. And in Hebrew poetry, they don't rhyme words like we do in our culture. What they do is they rhyme and they contrast thoughts. So here we see the total contrast. What does it say? A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Some of those that act like they have a cheerful heart are really the people that are on the inside crushed and have dried up bones, so to speak. I believe this verse is a perfect verse that gives us some insight on what it means to be a man of God. Much of the time, this verse describes perfectly how the men in here that are pursuing Jesus, the dads in here that are doing everything they can to lead their families, feel. The sermon title today is very simple. It's what he won't tell you. What your husband, what your dad that loves Jesus won't let you know. Hopefully today, I help us all to understand the struggle behind biblical manhood and the fight that every single man that's trying to love Jesus in here is in the middle of. Now, I understand that there are some young men in here and some men that are not men yet, and you haven't been to the place that I'm going to talk about. But keep this sermon in your back pocket, because one day you will absolutely get to the place I'm talking about today. I also understand that there's some men in here that maybe you're in a different season of life. You're older, you're retired. In a sense, you're living your best life now, so to speak. And there's lots of joy and there's lots of freedom. And you don't relate today to what I'm going to talk about. But my encouragement to you is to remember what it was like when you felt the way I'm going to talk about today. Remember that. And know that there are men under the sound of my voice in this room right now, joining us online right now, that feel exactly the way I'm going to describe. And when you remember how you used to feel that way, you realize they need your encouragement, they need your prayers, and I would say they need your amens today. My hope today is that if there's just one person, again, this isn't just for men, everyone I think will be able to relate to this. There's just one person that can relate to what we're going to talk about, that you will be encouraged as you walk out of here today. So what he won't tell you, I've got three things. Number one, this is what men that are humble, okay? If you've never thought these things, you need to go watch the sermon from last week on pride, because you're probably prideful. But a man that's after God's own heart, that has humility in his heart, he wants you to know this. Sometimes he feels like he stinks at everything he does. Solomon, in Ecclesiastes, gets towards the end of his life. And the phrase that summarizes the book of Ecclesiastes when Solomon looks back at everything he does is, everything is meaningless. In other words, everything I did, what did it matter? I missed the mark. I stunk at it all. Many of the men that are under the sound of my voice, we feel like we don't do enough. We go to work and we're not good enough. We go home and we feel like we can't do things right. Our boss is always yelling at us, screaming at us. Our wife can't even let us drive the car without correcting us. Way too many laughs right there, y'all. Way too many laughs. Don't correct him. It's Father's Day. Amen, y'all. This is the day that we don't get corrected when we drive, and we get to pick where to eat. Amen, gentlemen. We walk outside into a culture and society looks at biblical manhood and men that are trying to be men and says, you're toxic. You're horrible. The patriarchy is the reason for all the problems in our world. By the way, this is why so many men struggle with giving too much time to hobbies that we feel like we're good at, is because we feel like we stink at so many other things, and when we find something we think that we're halfway decent at, we'll put all of our time and all of our energy into that thing. And that's why so many men struggle with giving too much time to hunting, playing video games, watching sports, because at least they feel like they have some worth in those areas. And so many of us really struggle to find balance and make sure that those things don't become idols in our life. Every man in here that loves Jesus, I'm just going to tell you, I'm being honest, and he's never going to say this to you, but we struggle greatly in our confidence. Greatly in our confidence. Most of us grew up in completely broken homes. There may be some guys that grew up in a great home with great parents, but most of us grew up in completely broken homes where nobody ever looked at us and said, hey, you did a good job. Hey, I'm proud of you, son. Many of us grew up in a home where nobody said anything about anything we ever did, and we never heard that. Or when we did hear something, it was, you suck at this. You stink at this. You're terrible at this. You screw everything up. Most of our parents have been divorced. And if they were together, for many of us, it was very dysfunctional. So as a result, the overwhelming majority of men under the sound of my voice didn't have an example of a man that loved Jesus and taught them how to love Jesus and love their wife and love their kids. So if I'm being honest, for the guys in here, we kind of feel like we're going in blind with this whole Christianity thing. We're trying to figure it out, but we don't really know what we're doing. You know, if you're a mechanic, you can know the engine and know what's wrong and know how to fix it, but this whole Bible and Jesus and Christianity thing, we're doing the best we can, but we don't have that confidence. We've never been taught. We're going in blind. A lot of us have made mistakes in our life, and we don't ever tell you this. We don't ever let you see a sweat. But those mistakes haunt us. We beat ourselves up almost every day. Can't believe we did this. Can't believe we did that. So many men under the sound of my voice, it's like you know that Jesus has forgiven you for the mistakes you've made. Maybe everybody in here can relate to this. But you have yet to forgive yourself. So you try to shove it down, try not to think about it, but the reality is it's there and it messes with you to this day. Many of the men in here, men that love Jesus, we know we can get better. We know we can always do more. So a lot of us, man, you want to know the thing that keeps us up at night is worrying that we're not a good enough husband, worrying that we're not a good enough dad, worrying that we're not close enough to Jesus because we should do more. We just torture ourselves, for better or for worse. I'm not saying you should do this. I'm not saying you shouldn't do this. I'm just saying the reality of, in my life, what I've been through and walking with almost every single man, maybe every single man, this is what we struggle with, and you need to know. So we struggle with confidence. We think we stink at everything we do. Number two, we're exhausted. He is exhausted. Especially, I'll say this, the dads that have kids, that have a wife, that have a house that they're trying to keep up, they got a job that they're trying to get promoted at, and they're trying to keep it, and they're trying to make sure that they provide for their family. They're also trying to coach the little league team. They're trying to make sure the kids make it to the doctor's appointments. Ah! What else can I do? I'm just exhausted. In the New Testament, we have a great picture of a man that was after God's heart, a man that was trying to emulate Jesus, and it's none other than the Apostle Paul. This is why I love Scripture. If you think the Bible's not true, you need to read it because you hadn't read it. Because of Scriptures and passages like the one I'm getting ready to tell you, if the Bible wasn't true, all we would have is these scriptures talking about how perfect the heroes of the faith are. But listen to what Paul writes about himself in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He starts out by saying, I am talking like a madman. You ever felt like that? And anybody in here? Not just the men. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like, I think I'm losing my mind right now. Do I need to go to the doctor and get some happy pills or something? Because I'm walking around in a fog. I feel like I'm crazy. And I don't know what to do. He says, I'm talking like a madman. And then listen to the things that Paul's been through. Maybe this will encourage you and give you some perspective on the things you're going through. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, in danger from robbers, in danger from my own people, dangers from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. The brother had some danger in his life, didn't he, y'all? There was a lot of danger, okay? In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And then I love verse 28 as a pastor, just selfishly, because he lists all this stuff. I was threatened to be killed. I was stoned. I was beaten. I was all this stuff. And look at his greatest stressor in his life. And apart from the other things, there's the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. He's like, man, you church people are the ones that drive me the most nuts. Golly, y'all supposed to be Christians. Most of my anxiety comes from that. Look at that, anxiety. We think this is a new thing that we've come up with in our culture, and Paul's speaking to a man that is after God's own heart, struggling with anxiety, struggling to get through his calling, struggling to fulfill what it is God has called him to do. Ladies, we want you to know this, and kids in here, we want you to know this, and I'm not trying to be chauvinistic this weekend. I'm not saying that men have more worth than women or more worth than kids. Everybody has a place in the church, 100%. But the men in here want you to, like, we wish we could put into words, and I wish today I could put into words, the burden and the pressure that we feel to be the husband, to be the dad, to be all those things I defined at the beginning. Ladies, you'll never know what that's like. And honestly, you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to know. Because it's a burden gives to the men that love Jesus. He's exhausted. Thirdly and lastly, I hope I don't sound like an old man ranting up here, but he's lonely. He's lonely. You ask any man in here this morning, how you doing? You ask any man about any time how they're doing. Give me some of the responses, y'all. What do men say? Hey, how you doing today? What do they say? I'm fine. Great. UPS, they always said this, another day in paradise. What is that? Lonely. Ladies, you're so much better. You'll sit, most of y'all, not all of y'all, okay? So if you're different, it's okay. I'm not calling you out. But most ladies, you'll go to the women's ministry, sit at the table, and share your whole life story. Everything you've ever been through. Holding hands. Girl, let me tell you. Man, guys, we don't do that. We're built different. And as a result of this, we're lonely. I don't know if you've ever read the book of Psalms, but I would encourage you to do so, man, because it'll greatly encourage you. David, who, what did they say about David, a man after God's own heart? He is manic depressive in some of those Psalms. You'll see in a manner of 10 verses him say, God, you are so good, but God, everybody's left me. I don't have anybody. But you know what? I'm going to hold on to you. But everything's falling apart. I mean, it's just like up and down. And so clear. Sometimes David struggled with loneliness. We don't talk to you about this because, quite honestly, most of the time we're not supposed to talk to you about it. Because, once again, this is a burden that God has given the man in the home to be the leader of the home. Men that people think are good at connecting. Men that we look at and go, well, that guy's good at connecting with people. Well, he's good. Most of the time, just to be quite honest with you, a man that's good at connecting with people, what that means is he's just really good at BSing. And I'm not meaning to be offensive. I know we've used some strong language in this sermon series. And if you can't handle that, it's all good. I would say to you, you know, don't get on to us if you're going to go home and watch something on Netflix with all kinds of crazy stuff on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. We're going to be hypocrites in here or not. Most of the time, men that everybody thinks are good connectors, they're just good at keeping a conversation going, shooting the breeze, talking about things that really have no substance. So as a result, so many of us are lonely. As I've said, we're in a culture where we don't feel like we fit anywhere. The world's culture absolutely hates us. We're toxic masculinity. We're the patriarchy. We're everything that's wrong with the world. And honestly, too, you want to know something? Most of us feel like we don't even fit in at the church, because the church has become so feminized and so girly that most men, not all men, but most men walk in and go, I can't relate to this at all. It's interesting. You go back and study the history of America, you'll find that there was a big change in the 40s. You know what happened in the 40s, 1940s? World War II. And you can go back and you can look at the statistics. When this country first started, the churches were overwhelmingly men. And again, I'm not being chauvinistic here. I'm not saying men are more important. I'm just pointing something out. Men were involved in the churches. They started churches. They planted churches. There was strong community among men in the churches. But World War II happened. And what happened to all the men in America? They went to fight in the war. And the women took over everything, thank God. They kept the factories going. Guess what else they took over? Thank God. The churches. They took them over. And they did what they do. They made them more feminine. It's fine. What happened was, when the men came back from World War II, go look at the statistics. They came back and they said, you know what? I've already got strong community and brotherhood from the military. And this new kind of church that I'm coming back to, what is this? And you can watch over the last 80 years, as slowly the men have said, I'm out. I can't come into another service where I see, and there's nothing wrong with this. If there's men that do this, I'm not hating on this, but let's be honest. Most of the time, it's a more feminine man that's preaching the sermon. I'm not feminine, okay, y'all? You know, they get up here. But think about it. He's up here preaching a sermon and he cries 30 times. Most men can't remember the last time they cried. And if they did cry, it was alone in their truck, away from people. And they would never let you see them cry. Guy up here singing a solo, getting all emotional. Most men cannot relate to coming up on a stage, singing a solo, getting all emotional. And again, I'm not hating on that. Everybody's different. There are men that are different. I'm not saying, well, you can't cry if you're a man. That's not what I'm saying. God gave you tear ducts. It's okay to cry, men. It's one of the things we get wrong a lot of times. But what I am saying is most men can't even relate to that. At the end of the service, let's hold hands and pray. Are you kidding me? I don't want to touch anybody. Do the men in here know what I'm talking about? What is that, a milk dud on your hand or a mole? You know what I'm saying? Like, get away from me. Ew. I'm sorry. We don't fit, man. We don't fit. We're supposed to sit around and share our feelings and everything. All I want to do is go hunting and be left alone. By the way, that's what he wants on Father's Day. Leave him alone. That's all he wants. Don't get him gifts. Just leave him alone. So it's hard. It's hard. The encouragement today is this. To the men in here, I want to encourage you. Rest assured, God has called you. God has equipped you. And you need to function in the calling that God has for you and not give up on it. Don't give up on it. A few months ago, I was sitting with a good friend of mine, and we were talking about just life. He's a guy, I'm a guy. And we were talking about, oh, man, we're both a little like frustrated. How do we love our wives better? And how do we lead the church better? And how do we do this better? And man, my job's killing me. What decisions do I make, you know, with my job? And how do I, you know? And we started talking about the book of Hosea. And I've shared this with you before, but I think this is very powerful. The book of Hosea, if you don't know the story, what happened is there's a prostitute named Gomer. And God tells the prophet Hosea to go marry Gomer. Well, they get along for a little while, but then Gomer leaves Hosea, goes and cheats on him. And God says, go find her and live with her again. They get back together. This cycle goes on and on. They have a couple of kids. And the verse of tension in the book of Hosea, this man of God, this prophet, where God is calling him to do incredibly difficult things, is found in Hosea chapter 3, verse 1, that says this. After his wife's left him multiple times, he said it's cost him money, it's cost him reputation, it's cost him so many different things. It says, the Lord said to me, go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Go show love to her again. The encouragement to the men in here is, go show love to your wife again. Men, go show love to your kids again. I'm not trying to eisegese this, but the principle is here. Go show love to your family again, men. Go show love to your job again, men. If you ever feel like this, go show love to your calling again. Go show love to your church again. We're going to let you down. We're messed up. But go show love to your church again. Go show love to yourself again so that you can make it through this life. Listen, I know, guys, you're not perfect. Can I get a good amen? Amen. Now, that was for the guys to say. I heard some high voices in there. A little too quick on the trigger there, ladies. Very aware. None of the men in here are perfect. Let's just do it. Ladies, you ain't perfect either. Okay, y'all? Can I get a good amen?
Amen?
Okay, good. Ain't nobody in here perfect. Can I get a good amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I know you're not perfect. We know you're going to drop the ball. We know you're going to mess up. I'm going to mess up. Every man in here is going to mess up. But my encouragement to you is you're absolutely crushing it. You're killing it. Keep doing the best you can to love Jesus. Keep doing the best you can to follow His word. The world needs more men that love Jesus just like you. To be quite honest with you, the church needs men that love Jesus. They're not just lukewarm. We need men that are doing everything they can to love Jesus. I mean, just the fact that you're here this morning speaks volumes about your respect for God and the way you honor God. Only about one out of every five, six, or seven, depending on what statistic you read, women that are married are even in church this morning with their husband. It's about 10 to 20% husbands that go to church with their wife. So the fact that you're here, man, you're killing it. Don't ever let the enemy come into your life and destroy you by sending thoughts your way. Go lead your family. Go love your wife. Go be a great dad. Go do everything you can to follow Jesus closer than you ever have. Finally, I'll just close with this. For the men in here that feel overwhelmed, and for anyone in here that feels overwhelmed, sorry for coughing, but for anyone in here that feels overwhelmed, listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Boy, that's beautiful. Golly. I mean, anybody in here, the things that I've described today, if that's you, you need to know Jesus says, I will give you rest. And that's not what most of you have heard your whole life. What most of you have heard your whole life is if you get saved, then you're going to have a list of things to do on top of what you're already struggling with. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. So come to Jesus and He'll give you a list of things to do now. He'll give you peace. He'll give you rest if you're overwhelmed in here. How do you know if you're overwhelmed? You woke up this morning and you thought to yourself, I don't know how I'm going to make it through another day. I don't know how I'm going to go back to the job that I have. I don't know how I'm going to be a husband or a wife, a parent. I'm lost. I don't know. those that are burdened or weary? Come to Jesus and he will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I would submit to you this weekend that you might be overwhelmed because you don't know the person of peace, Jesus Christ. I would submit to you this weekend that your life might not be going well, and it might feel out of control, and you might have things that you can't just get rectified in your life because you're not following the manual for life that God has given us that leads to blessing, that leads to fulfillment, and that leads to good things in our life. Maybe this weekend, I'm preaching to somebody this weekend. If you just can't get that thing fixed, that thing that won't just go away, you're in the middle of a storm. It's been a long time since you've been out of it. Maybe it's because you either don't know Jesus or you're not depending on him. Maybe you're not being blessed by God because he is down at the very bottom of a long list of priorities that you have in your life. There's no greater gift on Father's Day than to understand the gift of salvation that God offers every single one of us. You know, I did some research this week for Father's Day and ended up on a website of a radio station that did a survey on the worst gifts that are given on Father's Day. And I'll close with this. By the way, speaking of gifts, we've got a gift for all the dads in here. It's a back scratcher. So on your way out, people are going to be giving these out. So get one. It's either a back scratcher or a butt whooper, depending on how old your kids are. I don't know if I'm going to scratch back. Get away. You know what I mean? So. But this website, this radio station, did like a Twitter poll or X poll or whatever and found out the 6 worst gifts that you could give your dad on Father's Day. And if you like any of these gifts, don't send me an email. It's off their website, okay? But some of these are pretty terrible gifts, and I've got pictures of them. There's 6 of them, okay? So y'all take a look at the first one. This is one that is a bad gift. It's a bacon-smelling cologne, okay? Cologne that smells like bacon. Don't wear that when you go camping, right? You know what I mean? That was one of them. Then number 5 is that hat right there. It's kind of referred to as the guy on the Food Network, Guy Fieri or whatever his name is. Like, don't buy him one. We don't care how bald we are, okay, y'all? And this is coming from a guy that's losing his hair. We don't want that hat, okay? Hit the next one. This was on the list too. Those right there. Socks. I really hope somebody in here did not buy one of these gifts for their dad today. Okay, y'all, like, goodness great, but socks that look like sandals, not a good gift, okay? Hit the next one, guys. Hit the next one. That's a bad passive aggressive, man. Maybe you got dad issues. Your dad was absolutely horrible, but, you know, don't be passive aggressive. That's one of them. A little too quick. It's a fanny pack. Now, here's... No. Go back. Please, y'all are going too quick. Going too quick there, please. This fanny pack, I thought of the last service. Matt, who is our... I don't know if I should tell y'all this. I've already said some crazy stuff, so... Matt, who is our Rev Connect minister, is wearing a fanny pack today because that's where he holds his cards and information and everything. And he has it turned around, not in the front, but in the back. That's bad enough on the front. Don't turn it around. Burn that image in your mind right now. Think about that. Hit the next one, please. You guys already saw it. That's a coffee mug. What does that look like inside the coffee mug? Y'all know what I mean? Coffee or something else? It's kind of cool, actually, but it's kind of gross at the same time. Amen, y'all? Hey, man, I'm not trying to be corny here, but I am trying to be clear. That salvation is a gift from God. You can't earn it. No matter how much you try to clean things up in your life, you're never going to get them clean enough to go to heaven. If you're here this weekend and you're overwhelmed, you might not know Jesus. And this is what I'll tell you to do. I prayed about how to say this. Do I lead them in a prayer, God? Do I want it? No. Here's what I'm going to tell you to do. The Bible is widely available. Download the Bible app and start reading it in the book of Matthew. Start in the book of Matthew and start reading. You know, I heard somebody say that the Bible is like a lion. You unleash it. You don't have to defend it, and you can't tame it. So my encouragement to you this weekend is if you're overwhelmed, if you're the person I'm describing today, you got the smile on in the front, but inside you're tore up, go to God's Word. It's like a lion that will come out. It will judge the attitudes of life. It will cut through bone and marrow. It will lead you and guide you. And if you don't know Christ, you'll know how to know him if you read his word. Amen, Rev Church. Let me pray for you guys. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for today. I pray for the dads in here. I pray for the men in here. Help us to stay strong. Help us to love you. Help the men that are trying to not be boys become the men that you want them to be. I pray for the purity of the men in here. God, I pray for us all as we go out this week that we would honor you with our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
If you're encouraged by today's message, be sure and rate us and subscribe on iTunes.